Let us pray. We've heard the text that's been read, for which I will now speak to you, but a word of God first in prayer. Loving and merciful God, may the words that I speak, that you speak through me, be a blessing into the hearts of those here today, that they hear, and then that they in turn are the lights in the context in which you place them in the community this week. In their word and their action, that you are the light to others, that they see and are drawn to you. So bless these words that are shared here today by the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. To forgive one another, to forgive someone who has badly hurt us, can be one of the toughest things that we as human beings can find ourselves in the midst of. We just look around in the world stage for a moment and we think about what we see evidenced and the witnesses that are being given to us in word and action. On the world stage, whether you have a particular opinion about this individual or not, most do, we hear about all the news and the attacks on the US president, for example, and all of those who are close to him. And we need to reflect what really lies behind the motivation for a persistent denigration of a public office. What motivates that? Because you see those who are for him and those who are against him rise up in demonstrations, and then you see the interreaction between the demonstrators, and you see things that are said and things that are done that invokes anger and hatred and violence. We look in our own country and we see recently where we've had another prime minister leave office, and we look back on the recent weeks and we think back on the past decades and we think about what has occurred. First it was Keating and then Hawke being replaced and swapping. Then it was Rudd, Gillard, Rudd. Then it was Nielsen, Turnbull, Abbott, Turnbull, Morrison. Happening in our stage as our political leaders have changed their leadership. And all as we get to hear about this, what has been the underlying thing festering away? Unresolved issues. Issues that move people to want to seek revenge, take action. And what witness does it give to those who watch on? What are we hearing in the press, on the radio, the TV, in the newspapers? What is getting said about all of this long-standing feuding that just hadn't been resolved, and it leaves us and many people shaking their head? In our communities, numerous break-ins, we hear about it. Road rage. I've seen it personally, driving in and out of Perth. People getting out of cars and walking up to trucks and belting on windows and waving fists and carrying on. Murders. Assaults. Assaults on our policemen and women. Seeming disregard for property. Vandalism. TV, the radio, the newspapers are full of these kind of reports. And what about the family home? I saw just the other night, I'm watching A Current Affair, which was being aired, a situation of a father who was cooking a meal and his grown son comes in and there's some altercation and verbal that goes on, which then results in the son lying dead on the kitchen floor as a result of the father having had that altercation with his grown son. What's the outcome? Children without a father, wife without a husband. What would have motivated such an altercation to occur that such a violent act can happen as a consequence of a interreaction? On the roads, what is the feeling of those who are impacted when their loved one is lost because a drunk or a drug-affected driver has collided and caused a vehicle accident and their loved one is ripped away? Forgive the hurt that others have caused. It's just not so easy sometimes, is it? I've been in war zones where I've seen firsthand people do extraordinarily ugly things to little children, to women, to communities, to towns. As a Christian pastor watching on and looking at that, and you look at this text and it's really hard to have that resonate. To forgive someone the hurt that they've caused can be one of the toughest things that we are actually called by God to do. There are people who have fallen out with families. Today is Father's Day. Fallen out with family members. They no longer talk with them. No longer associate with them. People no longer talking to one-time friends who have dropped their connection with congregations even because of a past hurt that hasn't been let go or resolved or healed. So many caught up in disputes and disagreements. The hurt in our communities as we look around the place, it's almost like sometimes you get compassion fatigue, don't you? Watching this on the TV, where you just have this coming at you in the reports and newspapers and the like. Because for so many, it's just too hard to forgive, to let go and to put the hurt behind them. The truth is that forgiveness is counterculture. For so many, forgiveness goes against what the human people are displaying one to another in the communities as we look around and live around. It's no coincidence that you, as people of God, are brought here into this church and regularly come to worship, who are fed by the word, who receive the forgiveness, and are then sent to be the light in your word and your actions, to be the light in a broken and hurting world. Forgiveness goes against, for many, the grain of human nature. It's a natural thing, is it not? When someone hurts us, that pride can get in the road and we go, well, they can come to me and sort it out. And when they're ready to come and say sorry, I might entertain a conversation. And so the strained and fractured relationships just continue, and the longer the hurt unresolved, the harder it is to make the move, to take the initiative, to sort it out. Jesus says that we as Christians have a special responsibility in the falling out of relationships, which is counterculture to what we see evidenced in the world. It's the duty, in essence, of the one who has been offended to take the initiative to go to those who have caused the hurt. And that's a really hard thing to do when we're feeling angry by what's happened to us, by what's impacted us and what's caused us to, because we might actually feel vulnerable. We might not feel safe to go and have that conversation. Jesus says we are a privileged people in the sense to go to the one who has caused the offense with the love of God and show that in how we react. So respond to them, not react to them. It's always important to respond and not react, because reaction just brings what we see in the world. One hits at another. Response is about measured, thoughtful, careful, reflected thought and a willing attitude of love and kindness to go in and value the relationship that's under strain to the point where you take the initiative to bring reconciliation. Jesus says in today's text, what he says can cut deeply to us. There's no way that it can't. You know, it does. If someone sins against you, go and point out what he or she has done and be friends again. What happens in the text? Peter hears these words of Jesus and he's really troubled by it, because he says to Jesus, well, how many times do I have to keep on forgiving every time they keep doing this to me? And what does Jesus say? He talks about the parable about forgiving a debt, where the king has forgiven a man a huge debt and then the man in turn won't forgive someone a smaller debt. And the king gets to hear of it and he treats the man appropriately. severely. And Jesus concludes, that is how my Father in heaven will treat you if you do not forgive any of my followers with all your heart. And I think this is where we as Christians have a real responsibility, because we look at that cross and we know every sin that we have committed, every sin that we will yet commit, that we don't even know that we're about to commit, has already been forgiven. Jesus' righteousness given to us, our sin taken to him on the cross, all paid for once and for all. And we know that we are now just called to be God's people, to live in his grace. That's all that's left for us to do. Live as forgiven people and to example that forgiveness to those who find it difficult to forgive, to show them, to lead the way, to help them, and to be reminded ourselves that it's not our business to hold on to hurts, that it's our responsibility to bring it to God, to let it go and to let God in those circumstances where it's very difficult. So how do we find the kind of attitude that will help us be counterculture to the world when it comes to the point of forgiveness in a difficult situation? First of all, it's a relationship with God, and where you are in your relationship with God and knowing about God, knowing about God and his Son. For God so loved you. We heard that. John 3:16, John 3:17. So his Son wasn't sent in the world to condemn but to save. We understand that. So it starts with our own relationship. And when we've got that in good order, we're in the best position to be able to bring forgiveness to others or to help others in their unforgiven state. So what kind of forgiving attitude is the second point? And we find here in Ephesians 4, 22, correction 23 and 24. Let the Holy Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. You were created to be like God, so you must please and be truly holy. Stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Instead, be kind and merciful and forgive others just as God has forgiven you. That's our call when we see people in restrained relationships, to help them by showing the love of God, by showing that gentleness and that kindness, that patience, that self-control, that willingness to have people move away from wanting to have revenge, to hit back. To listen and be guided by the Holy Spirit. And I really feel that Spirit in this church every time I come here, in the way that you welcome one another into the presence of God. Take that into your life, into your living, into your work, into your relationships, and let God's light stand so brightly with those whom he gives you a context and a conversation with each week. Forgiveness is hard work. It's a matter of prayer. It's a matter for God. It's a matter of letting go, and it's a matter of letting God. And it's a matter of understanding that every relationship is so important that it's not to be let go, but it's to be valued. And so that we work really hard to ensure that that which is not restored can be reconciled. And that's God's business. As we take it to God and we have God's power and his strength to be renewed, we will think differently. We have a new power to behave differently, to help others behave differently. You know, look at our political scene this last week, where I know that we have Christian leaders. And what has been the witness to the world of just not letting go of stuff, about self at the expense of others, not a great witness. And I pray that the Lord will surround all those who are hurt and hurting in that political scene with people that will be true lights, to help them refocus their lives. The responsibility, dear friends, is placed upon us to be the healing, redemptive word of God wherever we are placed, to do it in love, without gossip, without malice, to cover over the other's sin with the love of God and that forgiveness given to us in Christ. And I earnestly pray wherever God places you this week that you will be that light, continue to be that light in your work, husband to wife, parent to child, children to children, workmates to workmates, students at school, at the university, whichever friendship group or fellowship group that God places you in this week, that light of God will shine so brightly through you and your word and action that it will bring a difference to the hurting and those living in unforgiveness. God grant that we may forgive one another just as God has generously forgiven us. Amen. Peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.